The Mysteries of Paris, Volume 6, by Eugène Sue. Chapter 1. The Punishment, Part 1. We will again conduct the reader into the study of Jacques Ferrand. Availing ourselves of the loquacity of the clerks, we shall endeavor, through their instrumentality, to narrate the events that had occurred since the disappearance of Cecily. 100 sous to 10, if his present state continues, that in less than a month our governor will go off with a pop. The fact is, since Cecily left, he is only skin and bones. And now he takes to the priests again, more than ever. The curé of the parish is a most respectable man, and I overheard him say yesterday, to another priest who accompanied him, "It is admirable. Monsieur Jacques Ferrand is the personification of charity." Well, then, when the curé declares a thing, one must credit it, and yet to believe that the governor is charitable is almost beyond my belief. Remember the 40 sous for a breakfast? Yes, but then the head clerk says that 3 days ago the governor realized a large sum in the funds, and that he is about to sell his business. Well, no doubt he has the means to retire. He has speculated on the bourse and gained lots of money. What astonishes me is this friend who follows him like his shadow. Yes, he does not leave Monsieur Ferrand for a moment. They eat together, and seem as if they were inseparable. It seems to me as if I had seen this intruder somewhere. Have you not remarked that every 2 hours there comes a man with large light moustaches, with a military air, who inquires for the intruder of the porter? This friend then goes downstairs, discourses for a moment with the hero with the moustaches, after which the military gent turns on his heel, goes away, and returns 2 hours afterwards. Yes, I have remarked it. It appears to me that, as I go and come, I see in the street men who appear to be watching the house. Perhaps the head clerk knows more of this than we do. By the way, where is he? At the house of the Countess MacGregor, who has been assassinated and is now despaired of. They sent for the governor today, but the head clerk was dispatched in his stead. He has plenty in his hands, then, for I suppose he will fill Germain's place as cashier. Talking of Germain, an odd thing has occurred. The governor, in order to free him from prison, has declared that he had made a mistake in his accounts, and that he has found the money he accused Germain of taking. I do not see anything odd in that. It is but justice. I was sure that Germain was incapable of theft. Ah, here's a coach, gents, said Chalamel, looking out of the window. It is not a spicy turnout like that of the famous Vicomte, the gay Saint-Rémy, but a hack concern. Who is coming out of it? Only the curé. A very worthy man he is, too. Silence, someone comes in. To your work, my boys. And all the clerks, leaning over their desks, began to scrawl away with much apparent industry, and as if their attention had not been taken off their business for a single instant. The pale features of the priest expressed at once a gentle melancholy combined with an air of intelligence and venerable serenity. A small black cap covered the crown of his head, while his long grey locks hung down over the collar of his greatcoat. Let us merely add to this hasty sketch that, owing to the worthy priest's implicit confidence in the words and actions of others, he was, and ever had been, completely blinded by the deep and well-practised hypocrisy of Jacques Ferrand. "Is your worthy employer in his room, my children?" inquired the curé. "Yes, Monsieur l'Abbé, he is," answered Chalamel, as, rising respectfully, he opened the door of an adjoining study, and waited for the priest to enter. Hearing loud voices in the apartment, and unwilling to overhear words not intended for his ears, the abbé walked rapidly forwards, and tapped briskly at the door. "Come in," said a voice with a strong Italian accent. And entering, the priest found himself in the presence of Polidori and Jacques Ferrand. The clerks did not appear to have erred in calculating upon the approaching end of their employer. He was, indeed, scarcely to be recognized. Spite of the almost spectral thinness and pallor of his sharpened features, a deep red fever spot burned and scorched upon his projecting cheekbones.